feel like giving an altar call more of a sermon to preach. So please bear with me. You know, last couple of weeks, we've been talking about how we enter into the seasons that is ahead of us. Because there's a season for everything, and you may find yourself within a season now. Solomon says in chapter 3, there's a time and a season for everything under the heavens. There's a time to live, there's a time to die. There's a time for new things to be birthed, and times for old things to be thrown away. There's a time to tear down, there's a time to build up, time to plant, and a time to reap. Yeah, we make it up. And there's a time for everything. And you might be in a season where, you know, you're getting rid of old things and you're looking for the birth of new things. Or maybe you're in a season of grief. Solomon says there's a time to speak up and a time to be silent. No matter what, you'll find yourself in a season of some sort. And the good things is seasons come and seasons go. You're not meant to be in that season forever. Imagine having winter forever. I mean, that'd be awful, wouldn't it? And equally, we'd be given out if we had summer, real summer now, not early summer, real summer forever. Like, we just have to get 5 days in a row of sunshine. We're like, roasting, isn't it? Or rain over a couple of days. This weather drive you mad. It's like, we don't know what we want. But seasons come and grounds is replenished in seasons. And grounds are getting ready for seeds and new life. And yet in winter, you see, in autumn, you see things dying. But that's getting ready for the rejuvenating of new things and new flowers. And without them coming and going, we would be just driven mad. And the same as a season of life, you could be in a season where you feel, my goodness, I feel so barren. I feel like God's not speaking to me. You could be in many different seasons, but they come and go. And what I say is, get out of that season what you need to get out of that season, and then get out of that season. Meaning, don't stay in the winter too long. Don't stay in a summer season too long. Don't stay in a tearing down season too long. Don't stay in a building up season too long, because you get exhausted. And I said that the way we enter into this, and this is what I hope I communicated, how to be bulletproof going into seasons. And how to be bulletproof is that you go in as a worshiper, that you're always fixed on Jesus. And we went through the Psalms. We went through when David was going into a season of battle, King David. And before he went into battle, he went to the tabernacle. That's where the presence of God is. That's where the tabernacle he built that had 24/7 worship going on. He had a whole crowd of people, just say this section. And all your job was to do was to give thanks to God. He didn't want to hear that now. He was like, you're the thankers. Every time they were like, Lord, thank you for the sun, the moon. Thank you for breath. Thank you for life. Thank you for the flowers. They had come up with a million things. And now imagine that attitude. It's raining outside. Thank you, Lord, that the grass needs the rain. The farmers need the rain. The ducks need the rain. It's like, my goodness. And some elfler comes along and goes, horrible weather. Thank God for the rain. It's like, what? You can't get me into your negative slot. You can't get me into being a grumbler. And he had all these people. And before he went into a season of battle, he went in. He's like, Lord, I'm fixing my eyes on you. I'm going to go in with you. And he'd sing his songs unto God. And then he went out to battle. And he won the victory. And he comes back. Where does he go first? To the tabernacle. He says, God, you're great. Thank you for victory. Thank you for keeping me. Thank you for holding on to me. And if we can go in, I'm not saying fears won't come against us. I'm not saying storms won't come against us. But if they can remind us, oh, I'm going in to see God, we get perspective. We become a people that are not governed, or we're not dictated by what we feel, but we're dictated by what is real. That God is with us and on our side and for us. Because winds will tell us, oh, this is all going to cave in. And we go into the place where we just go, I'm just going to seek God. I'm just going to call on God. I'm just going to say, God, I thank you for your goodness. I'm going to get into my word. I'm going to, whatever you do, whatever you haven't done, get into doing. And whatever you're doing, find something new and fresh to do. And you go in, and God, even the psalmist came in. He says, the wicked are always prospering. I'm trying to live for God. I'm trying to do the right thing. And all those people that I work with that are in the town, they seem to be getting wealthier, they seem to be this and this. And he was getting caught up in what they were doing. And he says, until I went into the tabernacle of God. And then he got the perspective on what's real and what's right. And I would encourage us again, wherever season we're in, that you can be bulletproof. That if these things that are come against us, they're serving. No, I need to get before God, because if not, I'm going to go by what I feel. I'm going to go by what's not real. And the feelings say, you're in it forever. The feelings like, this will never change. I feel like this today. I feel like this in the morning. And then you get perspective. So we're going to start a series over the next couple of weeks called the God of the Elements. And the four elements of you know, seasons can be, and is like water, fire, wind, and earth. Earth, wind, and fire was a great group. And but like, and all throughout scriptures, we see these elements in life, and they're seasonal. And you see people, like, you see them in the negative and you see them in the positive. Because seasons are not all negative. God, in a season, could be bringing the warrior out in you. The person that you see is timid and shy, and God brings you into a season where that person's standing up and going, no, I'm believing God. And these elements that we're going to look at over the next weeks, we're going to see God in the elements. We're going to see that God is above the elements. That no matter what season you're in, and these seasons and these elements represent in your and my life, that God is in it all the way. And not only that, that he's above it. Because if we don't believe he's above them all, well, then we think that this season is going to crash down on me and even God can't rescue me, which is a big, fat, dirty lie. We start a new series in on telly, a big, fat lie. Because that's what they end up being. So I'm sorry for being very predictable today, but I'm going to speak in the next few minutes on storms. And that would have been very predictable. I could have told you. And plus I'm preaching first, so I get to preach the storm one, and everyone else that is going to be preaching here is like, drat. So they're going to have to come up with something else in the elements. And so let me read the scripture. It's in Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 41. It says, on that day, when evening had come, Jesus told them, let's cross over to the other side of the sea. So they left the crowd and took him along, since he was already in the boat. And other boats were with him. A fierce storm arose, and the waves were breaking over the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, sleeping on the cushion. So they woke him up and said to Jesus, teacher, don't you care? We're all going to die. He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, silence, be still. The wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Then he said to them, you have little faith. Why are you so fearful? And they were terrified and asked one another, who is this? Even the wind and sea obey him. I'd love to be Shakespearean in that. Who is he? That's my Shakespeare. Anyone here? Anyone here Shakespearean? It deserves more than like, who is he? Can you imagine them looking at each other? I'm not going to do it again, so don't be looking at me. It wasn't unusual for a violent storm to just come on the Sea of Galilee. It was surrounded by mountains, and a cold wind could come and whip up a storm in an instant, because it was a confined area. And we see with Jesus that it wasn't that the storm just like slowly, you know, left or slowly calmed down. It was calmed down. It was high raging sea, so much that the boat was swamping and they thought they were going to die. Now, who was in the boat? One, Jesus was in the boat. But secondly, seasoned fishermen were in the boat who had been on the Sea of Galilee, who would have known where it was to have a sudden storm come upon them. But they were in such a situation, they were so gripped with fear that they were like, we're going to die. What do you do when you're in that season where you think you're going to die? But someone had the great idea of waking up Jesus, because he was asleep. And you go, how was Jesus asleep in this storm? Like, it was like water was swamping. You know, he lived over a different place, and he was trying to teach the people that would follow him, because that's what we are, followers of Jesus, that you can live from a heavenly perspective, that even the storms, you can sleep in the midst of them. I'm like, Lord, can I get to that place where it's all raging and I'm like, I'm going to sleep? But he did go asleep. Jesus stands up, and here's the literal translation. He goes like this to the sea and the wind. Shh. It's such authority, even in his hush. He just just looked, shh. And everything came calm. Because he was the maker and is the maker of heaven and earth. Everything that is created has been created by him and through him and for him. Everything. The sea is remembered. Oh, he's creator. The disciples looked at each other and goes, God is in the boat. Even the winds and the waves obey him. Why? Because of the authority of the creator to creation. Shh, okay. Sea is calmed down. Shh, okay, winds die down. Such is his authority. Notice that he didn't pray to God and say, God, will you calm the sea? But he spoke to the sea and he spoke to the storms. And we'll get to that in a few minutes. And here's a point that I want us to get. Following Jesus does not mean we have an immunity to storms. Some people think I'm a Christian now and we give off this type of feel of, that's it, life is going to be rosy. There's not going to be, and then because we're not aware and because we're not informed and because we're not taught what to do in these things, that we end up getting taken by surprise, we end up feeling a failure and we end up walking away from God. Or we end up worse thinking, sure, God couldn't even take care of that. Where we don't know how to engage with God, even in the midst of the storms. Following Jesus does not make any of us immune to storms. I listened to a great song, an old country song, during the day, last week sometime, the week before that, driving somewhere. I never promised you a rose garden. What a great song. I beg your pardon. I never promised you a
rose garden.
I like it. I like it. That's the choir section over here. It's all the karaoke singers over there. But it's the reality. He never did, never once. But what he did promise is, I'll be with you in the midst of it. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am in it all. No matter what the raging sea looks like, what the howling winds sound like, I am in the midst of it all. I be there. I will be there. I am there. And if we can get this in the midst of the storm, no matter what it looks like, that we know Jesus is right in the middle of the boat with us. And those, I can imagine those seasoned fishermen, they reckoned they were about 3.5 miles into the sea. There was no like just jumping out and getting back to the land very quickly. It was like, but these seasoned fishermen would have tried everything in their own strength to sort this out. And we can do that. Jesus, you stay asleep. I'll sort this out. So I'm a strong man. And we're doing everything in our own willpower. I'm telling you, I just give up on my willpower, do you? Like, it's like, you know, it's like trying to, it's like you're squeezing through, you know, gritted teeth. Oh, I will have this freedom. I will be free from this. I'm like, that's hard work. And in the end, I fail. So a lot of hard work for nothing, instead of like submitting myself to God and coming before Jesus and saying, Jesus, I can't do this without your strength, without your ability, without your grace. And therefore I can truly, when I come to church, I can give you thanks and praise over a heart that knows that if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be here. I was saying, and if you do this, please don't hear that other than what I'm saying. But like, you know when you see, I actually seen a man when I was dropping the girls down to RD Street earlier on this morning, that a man taking a selfie with Guinness behind him, because, you know, everyone comes to Guinness's down there area. 1 million visitors a year, unbelievable. And but he's taking a selfie. And I just thought, because I've taught this for a couple of weeks, and I was like, you know, there's nothing wrong with this, don't get me wrong, but it's an expression of our society. A selfie, you know what I mean? Like, everything is like to do with me, look at me. And like, I see real cool customers that I admire on Facebook and they're doing selfies. And I'm like, you know, you look like a sap. It's like, you know, it's like, what? I can't believe he just done a selfie. But it's the same. Like, we're in a storm. Selfie. I'll get through pictures. I'll take pictures of myself as I struggle through it. Just leave Jesus asleep. It's me. But if we go, it's like the Eurovision Song Contest up here. If you go and wake Jesus, I need you. I want to tell you, you will save a lot of else. Just, getting nowhere, but doing a lot of work to get there. And someone had the bright idea. Imagine them all doing a selfie. A great Christian I am. I'm miserable, but I'm still doing it. And someone says, let's wake up Jesus. Let's go to the master and see what he has to say. Sure, he made that wind. He made the waters. And in the midst of it all, Jesus stands up and rebukes the wind. See, it's in the seasons and it's in the storms that we get a glimpse of God's glory that we don't get in other places. They turned around and says, he's God. They had been with him when he gave out loaves and fishes, fish and chips. They didn't say he's God. But they're in the midst of they thought they were going to die, and they see Jesus stand up, and they realize this is God. And I don't know about you, but I haven't had my greatest experiences with God up on a mountaintop somewhere jumping around hallelujahs. But I'm telling you, when I've been in the depths of thinking I'm going to die, that I realize who God is. And he shows up in a way that keeps you year after year after year. I think when we're up on the mountaintops, we celebrate what we've got in the valley. Yeah, God, you are the God who calms the storm and the sea. Up on the mountaintop is where we give thanks and praise. But I know for me and I know for these guys that they've seen his majesty and his mastery over land and sea and air. They've seen his lordship. They've seen the creator talking to creation and creation being subjected to who made it. It was in the midst of this that Jesus knew, that they knew, that Jesus has the goods for every season. No matter what season we're in, Jesus has the goods within the midst of it. If we need peace, he has the goods. If we need deliverance, he has the goods. If the valley is low or the mountain is big, he has the goods in the midst of the season. He has the power in the midst of the season. And blessed is the person who understands this. He has the goods. He has the hope. He has the peace. He has the joy. He has the ability. There's a great proverb that says, blessed is the peace of the righteous. Pray that for yourself if you can't sleep. I want to know the sleep of the righteous. That means I'm bulletproof tonight. I'm just going to relax in the fact that God is my God. The maker of heaven and earth is my God. And whatever is there. There's a word you use, I think it's called Yoda. Or Toda. It's one of those Hebrew words. And it means to come before God with your hand like this. Like you're confessing something in a court of law. And you come before God in a praise. And you're saying stuff to God like, God, see all that stuff that I carry with me this week? I'm putting that there. With the understanding that you can take care of my troubles. Therefore, when I come into your presence, I'm going to praise you. Baggage free. Because you can take care of that. And I'm telling you, there's times we just need to do that. It's like, God, this season, it's wrecking me brain. But I'm leaving it there. I'm going to go to sleep tonight knowing that all things work together for my good. Amen. And also in every season, there's a learning curve. In this season, you can learn from this situation that having faith in Jesus can get you through the storm safely. Trusting in him can get you to the other side. Because Jesus spoke to them and said this, we are going to the other side. When Jesus says something to you and you're with him and you're following him, you're going to get there. No matter what storms, what enemy, no matter what comes against us, if Jesus said it, it's a done deal. So you stick with the one who said it. And then when storms come, you go, no, God called me. If God spoke to you a prophecy or a word about your future, no matter what storm comes, that's the time to take out the prophecy and go, look, it doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel good with the wind slapping me in the face and the water swamping my shoes. But I want to tell you wind, I want to tell you wave. God has a plan for my life. God has a purpose for my life. And I'm going to go there because I'm walking with Jesus. No matter what. And the disciples, we'll see in a few minutes. Imagine what Jesus wanted one of them to stand up and say, look at wind, you better die down. Look at waves, you better die down because we're going to the other side. Why? Because he said it. And if he said it, well, then it's done deal. I could tell you great things, but I want to tell you, it won't keep you in the middle of a storm. But if Jesus speaks to you, You hang on to that. You declare it. Amen. And we can learn in this situation, through any storm, we can learn how to rest in God's word. God said it, I'm resting in it. And we can learn how to rise up in God's word and say to the elements, hang on a second, God said it, therefore it's a done deal. And I don't know whether you've had to do this, but again, I don't remember ever saying it to myself when I'm up on the mountaintop dancing. But I know how many times I've had to say it when I've been in darkness, when I've been in, I don't know what's next. I'd have to say, no, God called us. I remember just last year, we needed so much money last year as a church. And we're sitting there and you get into round the boat. Where can we come up with money? And Sharon says, hang on, guys, we've been here before. What did she do? She pulled out God's word. God said he would provide. God says go and start churches. God says go out to Bray. God says go out to Clondalkin. God, if he said it, she said, he'll bring us through. And he did. And it's a time to remind ourselves of his faithfulness and his goodness. It's a time to rise up and say, no, God has called me. I don't care what's going on. God has called me. At a time in the storm, what we learn from this is that God cares about our storms. And God cares about the seasons that we're in. And we also learn that in the midst of the storm that we can have little faith, but God wants to move us to greater faith. Do you ever read this or other situations and you see Jesus looking at the disciples? He goes, you have little faith. I don't know about you, but I cringe when I read that because I'm like, I know that'd be me. Jesus. I have great faith when I'm talking in front of people, but I'm my own in the storm. And I read that and nearly you remember all the times when you had little faith. But here's the thing. Jesus looks at them, right? And it says they were terrified and in fear. And Jesus says, why are you afraid, you of little faith? And he was like, and that word, fear means, it sounds like delos, which means filled with dread. And he was like, it was different, you know, like if you're walking on water, and or not if you're walking on water, that was yesterday, but if you were in a storm, there's a natural fear. But this wasn't a natural fear that had gripped them. It was a fear that caused them to, thanks, son. It was a fear that caused them to forget who was in the boat with them. It gripped them, it dread, it was nearly, because it caused them to say, do you not care? That dread, that fear that makes us point up to God and go, do you not care about me? That's fear driven and dread, because it's not the truth. It's not the truth. And I don't know whether you've ever been caught with that or you are, but I want to tell you, in Jesus' name, be delivered from that. Because it's not the truth. He does care. And our circumstance and our storm might tell us difference, but that's not the reality. That's a passing thing. But what's sure and steadfast is the word of God. It says heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God endures forever. And he says, I do love you. I do care. Listen to some of the Isaiah's language and the psalmist's language. He says, I love you with an everlasting love. Do you think he just puts that in there to be poetic? Oh, this might sound nice in a psalm. He puts that in because it's the reality of the nature of God. And if we can trust, and if we don't learn to trust in his character, we will never learn to trust in his promises. And they were gripped with this, and he says, oh, ye of little faith, why are you so afraid? And he was challenging the fear and the dread that causes people to say, God, do you not care? Honestly, I'm at the point in my life, if that comes out of my lips, I repent. I don't smother away, well, this storm or this situation, I was under attack. I don't go there anymore. I'm too beyond that. I know too much. I've experienced too much of God to ever say, do you not care? Because it's a dirty lie. He does care. Now, how we get out of this storm, he'll navigate us out of it. Are you with me? Let's banish that. Because that brings you into other places of doubts and fears. And we end up thinking, what's the use? Amen. There's deliverance just there. But here's the beauty, and we finish this. Even though they had little faith, Jesus responded to that little faith. Even though they had little faith, because let me get this right. Praise the Lord. God's provision. You can have it. Let me get this right. It's critically important to know that when we need help from Jesus, we instinctively think that it has to be dependent on how strong our faith is. It's not about how strong our faith is. It's about who is the object of our faith. Are you with me? So it's like, if it's little faith and your faith is in Jesus, it's not about the strength of your faith. Because I don't know about you, I find when it's about strength and it's about the strength of my faith, I'm working it up. I'm like, I'll tell you a quick story. One day I was in the car, I was lying on the couch, and two things the Lord says to me. One, the Lord says to me, Noel, I'm attracted to sin. Whoa, my brain and my upbringing as a Christian was like, if there's sin in the camp, God won't enter in. If there's someone, you know, like Achan's sin, chapter 6 of Joshua, and then God says the opposite. I was like, my theological mind was going through scriptures. What do you mean, God, you're attracted to sin? He goes, no, what did I do with the world that was sinful and evil? I gave my son. I was attracted to the mess to make a right. I'm telling you, that's a revolution in itself. Because we think when we sin, God won't come near us. He's like, no, son, come here. That's like Penny falling on her knees and we go, it's your own fault. I told you never to do that. I told you this and this and whatever. Now, what would you do? You go over and pick her up. Are you all right? You're dusting off our knees. You're getting something. And we have a picture of God, and when we fall, we go, he doesn't want that to do us. We have a split head, a broken nose, black eye, and God is like, his heart is to run. That's what he shows in the prodigal son. His heart is to run and to go, come here. I know how to put it right. I've made provision for this. My son paid a price for that sin. Unbelievable. So all the people that are quaking in their boots about sin and whatever, God's like, I'm in the midst of it. I died in the dump. Jesus died in the dump. He shed his blood in the dump. Do we not get it? It wasn't up in some high, sanctified, holy place. It was in a dump called Golgotha. Saying, I'm in the midst of the rubbish. I'm in the midst of the mess. And I can take that mess and make it a tremendous message of hope. And the second thing was, it's not by faith. We're saved by faith. No, by grace through faith. What comes first? Grace. And I was like, and with that, a girl knocks her out the door with a dead baby in her womb. And she says, the doctor told me that the baby's dead. And Sharon says, we're going to the Kilm Hospital. And now I was going to slip into faith, man. Did it? Take off the Chelsea jersey and get into Mr. Faith. And I was going to walk her up. I was going to pray in tongues all the way. Da-da-da-da-da. Into the car, and there was no panic. There was no, I had to walk her up. I had to work up my faith to get this girl a miracle. It was like, I just said, Jesus, will you just make this baby well by your grace? Kids, you know, we get to the hospital, there's a heartbeat. You know who it is. There's a heartbeat. That little girl's about 5 now. And unbelievable. You don't have to, it's by grace. It's by grace. It's the object of who our faith is in, as much. And even if it's little, Jesus might say, I want you to grow in that faith, but I respond to that much. He might bring you into another situation that you can lean back into that storm and go, look, this is another storm. I'm going to stand up and rebuke the winds. I'm going to stand up and rebuke, because if Jesus responds to that, imagine what he's going to respond to when I step up into the game. So we're going to stand and we're going to finish with this. Let me tell you this. There's a reason for the season. Did it? There is a reason for every season. It's not just the Christmas deal. Whatever season you're in, and here's the beauty of it, there's a purpose to your season. It's a purpose to grow you. There's a purpose to mature you as a Christian. There's a purpose for you to see part of God's glory. There's a purpose of it to know that Jesus has the goods for everything. There's a purpose, and you might go, why would God bring me into this? Some seasons are seasons because they're natural. Some seasons are because God brings you in to show you stuff. Some seasons are because of other people. And many people would say, I wouldn't have a lot of those seasons if that other person wouldn't have made their decision about things. Some people blame God and marriage breakdown. No, it's people breakdown. Because one person makes the decision to do selfie things and become selfie. And that's how a lot of marriages break down. But God is in the midst of it. God didn't cause it, but he's in the midst because someone else made a decision. Are you with me? But there's still a reason for every season. That you will see God, learn God, you will talk about God in a way that in no other season could have brought it to you. And on the other end of this boat trip with the storm, they go over to the other side and they get to the other side. Why? Because Jesus said so. Isn't it great authority when you walk into a room as a younger person or you hear your kids go into a room? You have to go downstairs. Why? Ma said so. And the authority of that other bit. Because if it was just a teenager saying to a teenager, you'd probably get into a row over it. But when you say, Dad said, or Mom said, it carries an authority. And if Jesus says we're going to the other side, it carries the authority and the weight of the maker of heaven and earth. Why are you going to be a great youth worker? Because Jesus said so. And all the elements will say, who said this and who said that? Jesus said. You're going to be set free and you're going to set other people free. Who do you think you are? Who said that about you? Jesus. And Jesus says, we're going to the other side. There was a purpose because on the other side, there was a man that was full of demons. And he needed a message of hope. Can I tell you, what my best encouragement can be to go through your storm. You don't know who's on the other side of your storm. That needs your message. That needs your freedom. That needs you to say, look, if God got me through, he'll get you through it. There could be one person or there could be millions. You don't know where you're going to end up. You don't know where your story is going to be told. Could be cities hinging somehow on us getting to the other side. Because there was a man who went back to the Decapolis, which was 10 cities. And Jesus says, go back there and tell them all your story. Cities could be on the other side of our storm. So, Lord, here we are, people who love you and want what you want for our lives. And I pray this year, no matter what element that we are in, Lord, no matter what storm may come against us, Lord, that we would waken you up, Lord, that we wouldn't leave you asleep. He doesn't sleep nor slumber anyway, but he loves us to call upon him. But we wouldn't just put you aside. We wouldn't forget about you. We wouldn't say, I'll get through this in my own self. My own self will. I will commit myself to you. And you may be going through a storm right now. See, Elijah that I talked about was going through a storm. And an angel came and touched him. Something from heaven. God sent a messenger to strengthen him on the journey. Jesus, when he was praying and fasting, and he was in the desert for 40 days, it says an angel came. When he was in the garden, an angel came. And God sent strength, reinforcements. He sent his power, a physical manifestation of I am with you. And could I just ask you to put your hand on the person's shoulder beside you? And I pray that as you put that hand on their shoulder, that those who are in receivership of that hand, please know that God is with you and God is for you and that you will see God in the midst of it and you will experience that he has all that you need and you will learn things about God and you will learn things about yourself and you will get to the other side in Jesus' name and you will do things for God in Jesus' name. And you will tell others about the wonder of God in Jesus' name. And right now, Lord, I ask for a download of strength. and a download of encouragement and a download of joy, Lord God. That, Lord, that you would, Lord, that we, you put these things in your word to show us how to navigate and to go through storms, oh God. And Lord, and that you just tell us, Lord, and show us in this, Lord, that, Lord, the storm won't overwhelm us. It won't take us out, Lord, as long as we stick with Jesus, Lord. And I pray right now that, Jesus, that you would be strong in the midst of us. That, Lord, that you would manifest your strength and your hope within us. And hope in the Bible is not like 50-50, I hope I get there. Hope in the Bible means this, that I am living in expectation of a good ending to this because of who he is. That's what hope means in the Bible. It's not like, I hope it happens, I hope it doesn't happen. You know, it's like toss of a coin. That's not the hope the Bible talks about. Because of who he is, I'm living in expectation of a good end for me. I can base that on Romans that says, he works all things out for the good for those who love me and call it according to my purpose. So I break that over your life. I just break it open that the oil of Romans 8:28 will just rush over you. And that you will know right now the presence of God, the peace of God, and the provision of God in this season. For his glory. Amen. Now turn around to that person, give them a high five, and say, enjoy a cup of tea with us. Amen.